say, so, right, I'd like to ask you, could you tell me your name, your address and your date of birth, please?
My name is Yvonne Marie Morris and I was born on the 23rd of May 1946.
Great. So, if you tell me a little bit about your background, where were you born, your father, your mother, their occupations and your siblings?
Right, I was born in Antwerp in Belgium in 1946. My father was stationed there with the South Wales Borderers fighting the Germans, obviously through the war years, where he met my mother. And it was, I came to this country because my dad was originally from Swansea in 1955, beginning of 56, because my father was very homesick and wanted to come back to Wales. I've got one brother, Brian, who now also lives in Barry, who's a year younger than I am.
Great. Education, primary, could you tell me something about your primary education and your secondary education?
Primary education was very difficult because, of course, I didn't speak a word of English when I came to this country. So, I mean, it was a real struggle, which is why I failed my 11 plus and had to go to a secondary modern school. Where I did okay, actually, I did reasonably well, and went on to do shorthand and typing training.
Which school did you?
Llansamlet Secondary Modern School, and then I went to Mynych Bach Multilateral School for Girls and did a year shorthand typing because I then thought I'd get a job as a shorthand typist. My brother, being a year behind me, he passed his 11 plus and went to grammar school, Dunever School in Swansea, and came top. And nearly everything, and went on to get a first class honours degree at Birmingham University in history. I left school at 16. I started work as a shorthand typist. I think I was only there, well, probably not more than a few months. I was bored rigid, I hated it. So I had a string of jobs, as I couldn't settle to anything. I worked in shops as a shop assistant. I worked in a milliner's. I worked as a nanny, which was quite interesting, for two families down in Gower, in the Gower Peninsula. But eventually, I thought I'd better get myself a steady job, and something that paid reasonably well, and that was within sort of a reasonable distance of my home. So I got this job in Addis.
Before you go on, can I just ask you, how did you feel about leaving school? Especially if you say your brother did very well.
Yeah. Well, it didn't really affect me at that stage because he was a year behind me. But as time went on, you know, it did affect me.
I mean, did you want to leave school when you did?
Oh, yes, I wasn't bothered about leaving school. No, I wanted to. Oh, my friends left school at the same time, so, and they all got jobs. But, it was expected that we work for a couple of years, get married and have kids and all that stuff, you know, and I knew that wasn't going to be for me. I knew when I was in school it wasn't going to be for me. So that was a bitter disappointment to my parents. But they learned to live with it. And then I started working in Addis. And because I didn't have a particularly happy home life, and I didn't get along with either of my parents that well, in some senses, the women that I worked with in the factory became a substitute family for me. Looking back on it now, I didn't realise it at the time, but the ones I formed the closest friendships with were all women who were old enough to be my mothers, which was unusual for a 16-year-old, because very few of my friends were of the same age as me. All the people I was friendly with were in the considerably older than me, usually in their late 30s, early 40s, and upwards from there. So I wasn't aware of that at the time. And working there, it was very much a sense of community and closeness.
Okay, before we go on to that, can you just describe to me, like, the first day you walked into the factory and what it was like, what it looked like, what it smelt like, what it sounded like?
Oh, blimey. Well, the first thing that hit me was the size of the place. And the second thing that hit you is the enormous noise, because all the machines were going. and everyone was yelling in order to be heard among, you know, above the noise of the machines, and it seemed very grubby to me as well, and dark, I remember. Although there were lots of lights on, it was still dark. Yeah, and it was, you know, a bit sort of awe-inspiring walking in for your first day.
So tell me what you did then.
Well, I started as a packer. So, because I was working with plastic, you know, things for the home. You have to pack them before they go out. And obviously that's timed, so you have to do so many an hour. Yeah, that's how I started.
So
on a line of women who were all doing packing various different items along the line.
And how did you find that work?
Well, it was physically hard, but I mean, at that age, you're fit and strong, and it, you know, you get on with it, really.
Did you find it boring, or was it okay?
Funnily enough, I don't think I did find it boring. No, because in fact, you spent a lot of your time talking to the people immediately around you, so that you kind of switched off from the job itself. You just did that instinctively and automatically after a while. And you were actually in communication with the people around you all the time, which kind of kept you going.
So you could talk then? You could talk on the job? And what about music and things?
Yeah, there was music all the time. There was always music playing. Do you want me to put the plane down?
I was just going to ask you, when you went to work there, you say you made friends with older women, but were there friends there? Did you know people who worked there when you went to work there?
No. No. I don't think there were. No. Because I left all my friends behind, really. You know, the 16-year-olds that I'd known in school, on the whole, didn't tend to work in Addis. I mean, all the ones I went to Manich Bach with, they went on to university eventually. Or they went to work in offices. Very few of them went to work in the factory.
Why did you choose Addis out of interest?
No particular reason, just that it was close to home.
Right, okay. And how did you get there when you...
On the bus, with all the other women. You know, we'd went through the estate and we picked everybody up, so it was the same group of people going and coming back every day.
Were they factory buses or were they...
No, they were public transport buses.
Did you have a test or an interview for the job?
Oh, yes.
And what did they ask?
I was interviewed. I can't remember what they asked me. Well, I suppose they must have asked me why I didn't continue working as a shorthand typist, as I got the qualification for doing that, and why I wanted to work in the factory. But I don't remember what I answered. Well, I probably told them I was bored stiff and wanted something a bit more challenging and interesting, you know, to do. But I had reasonably good qualifications from school and from college, so they seemed quite keen to have me there. I did work on the telephone switchboard there for a while as well, answering the incoming calls and connecting people. I did train to work on the old-fashioned switchboards with the leads going in. You know, they're fantastic things.
So did you do that? I mean, did your job change while you were at Addis then?
No, I did that while the telephonist was away, or if she was off on holiday or ill, or she did have maternity leave, things like that, I'd fill in. But no, I went back onto the factory floor, and I just eventually began working on the machines, which were quite dangerous, actually. Although they did have safety guards on them, they're still quite dangerous things. So I did eventually start working on the machinery, and then later on still training other people how to operate the machinery.
So just explain to me then what the machines did.
Well, what they actually did was they trimmed the brushes, because they had all had to be a standard size. So if you had, and they also attached the bristles to the plastic handles, which the machine, you know, you lined them all up on the machine, and then the bristles would be attached to the plastic handles. And you also individually by hand sometimes had to make sure that the bristles were of a standard size. So you actually had to run a brush through a machine which cut the bristles. And as I recall, you did that by hand. So that could have been extremely dangerous to do. I don't remember us having any special gloves or even glasses, though we must have had safety glasses. I don't remember wearing them. The bristles got, you know, they're very sharp little nylon bristles, flew in all directions. They must have had safety glasses, though I don't remember wearing them. But the machines, some of the machines were quite large.
I was going to ask you about health and safety then. What was health and safety like at the factory?
Well, they did all have safety guards on, you know, and we were given good training, I have to be honest, on how to operate, and we were constantly being told to be careful and, you know, that these machines were dangerous. So, it considering, you know, it was all that time ago, well, I suppose it wasn't too bad, to be fair.
How long was the training?
Do you know, I can't remember, it was weeks. It must have been weeks.
What about the other conditions in the factory?
Well, the thing was, we only had a break in the morning, mid-morning, for a cup of tea or a cup of coffee, and we sat down at our machines or on the line, wherever we were. We just stopped when the hooter went and had our 15 minutes break for a cup of coffee or whatever. And then we carried on, and then we had staggered lunch breaks. They were sort of from 12 to half past 12 to 1, 1 to 1 to 1:30. And we all went, you know, different groups went at different times. And that was half an hour. And then in the afternoon, we had a break about 3. And again, sat down wherever we happened to be working and had a drink and a 15-minute break again.
What was there a canteen there?
There was a canteen, and the food was very good.
Right.
Yeah. So that's where we all went for our lunch break. No, the food was good, I remember that. We had a proper decent lunch.
What about the building itself? Was it kind of hot, cold?
Yeah, it was extremely hot, because we had all the roofs were glass, and the sun just absolutely hammered down when the sun was shining, and it was really hot to work underneath the light. Those were the only windows. There were no windows in the building, so the sun would come in through the roof, and it was extremely hot in the summer and extremely cold in the winter. I can remember many occasions where we worked in our coats, with our coats and scarves on.
So, before I was going to ask you about the union, but before I go on there, you mentioned about time and motion people as well. Could you tell me about that?
Oh, well, we regularly had time and motion people coming in and watching us, observing us to see how fast we were working or how slow we were working or how many an hour would be a reasonable number to do. And it was almost always more than we could, you know, we thought we could manage. But so we had to speed up. They were dreaded, those people. They were really dreaded, because they knew every time they came that they would probably push the numbers up that were required. They never went down, they always went up. So we never sort of looked forward to that at all. We thought, oh God, here we go again, you know, they want more. And to increase profits, obviously. We got less, and they always increased profits, which I suppose at the end of the day is what they're there for. But you know, we always got less in our pay packets than they got in theirs, really. We always felt that anyway. There was some, I remember, I can't remember how it worked mathematically now, but we were always on the losing end of it anyway. But then, if they don't make a profit, we don't have jobs, and the factory doesn't continue to operate, so something you got used to, really.
What about the union then? Was there an union?
The first thing I did was join a union.
Do you remember which union it was?
Transport and General Workers it was then. It's the first thing we did, really. We have regular union meetings. And on the whole, we didn't have a lot of problems, to be honest, with them as employees, because the pay rate was reasonable. But it was the conditions that really bothered us, you know. I knew she'd do this.
Okay, you were talking about the union, and yeah, I'll ask you then, were there any disputes?
The only ones I can remember were in the winter when we had to work in our coats and we were so cold. I remember there being a dispute about that. The heating was never sufficient. It just never seemed to penetrate. The building was so huge. We were never aware of any great heat. And we all complained about it and nothing appeared to be done. I suppose they would have had to do quite a big job in putting decent heating in, and they were reluctant to do it. So we did all decide to go out, to walk out. And we did have a strike. I can remember us all walking out en masse and us being in the local paper, which was Evening Post. It's still going in Swansea. And also being on the local news, on the BBC, on the local Welsh news. If you don't behave.
Were you all, were most of you members of the union?
Yes.
Yeah. Did you become an official or anything?
No, I wasn't there long enough and I was so young. I mean, obviously, I was one of the youngest ones there, really, so it would have been a much... Well, it was a much older person than me.
Can you describe to me... I haven't... You were talking about the brushes, but can you describe to me what was made in the factory altogether?
Things like... what do they call them? Dish racks. Cutlery trays. Sink tidies. Scrubbing brushes. Sweeping brooms, mops, anything that you can think of that you could use in a home or in the kitchen specifically, anything that was made of plastic was made there. Yeah, that was it really. Anything else? Sweeping, sink tidies, everything like that really.
Okay, I'm just going to... So... Did you enjoy working at the factory?
It's a difficult question to answer that, really. Some aspect of it I enjoyed. but as time went on, I became quite frustrated and felt that there was something more I could be doing. If you know what I mean. I wasn't being stretched.
Yes. What about the workforce? Was it mainly women?
Yes.
How many do you think, how many people worked there?
Must have been hundreds. I mean, there were whole sections of it I never saw. I don't remember there being any male employees. Apart from, strangely enough, the bosses, who were all male. No, the supervisors were female and all the workers were female. It was a huge building, so I have no idea how many actually... Oh, for goodness sake!
So, mainly women then, well, mainly all women except for the bosses.
Except for the bosses.
Were there what you considered unskilled and skilled jobs?
Oh, now I think about it, there was a workshop where they repaired. They did all the repairs and that was all male. But, you know, I never, in all the years I was there, I never walked into it. I never went there. But I did speak to some of the men who worked there. That would be considered skilled work because they were the men that fixed the machines when they broke down. And anything that was broken, they would fix it. So that was considered skilled. Working on the machines was skilled because, you know, obviously it took a lot more skill to operate a machine than it did to pack an item. Yeah, so that would be considered more skilled.
Were you paid more to work on the machine than
yes.
you?
Yes, well, your rate increased as the longer you were there anyway. You got increments, you know. They paid you for loyalty, basically, the longer you stayed. Your pay went up incrementally anyway, if you stayed. Because so many people left, obviously, when they had children and stuff. And then came back when their children were grown up quite often. So there was a big gap. No, the pay increased. It increased with time spent, And obviously there were things like if you were promoted to a supervisory position, you obviously your rates obviously went up.
I'd like to ask you actually, because you did all these other things first, how old were you when you went to work there, and what year was it?
I think it was 1963.
So you were 19?
No, I was born in 46.
Oh, sorry, 17.
Yeah. I think it was either 16 or 17. I think it was... I left school at 16, and I had... None of my jobs lasted more than a few weeks.
Right.
Before I went to Addis. I wasn't yet 17 before I went there, I don't think.
Right, okay. Sorry. So, were there married women working in the factory?
Oh, yes, lots of them.
Yeah, and there was no problem with that?
No.
And what about when, you said when they had children, they came back. Were there any child caring facilities in the factory?
Oh, no. Oh, good Lord, not in 1963. It didn't even enter their thinking. No way, no. There were women with young children who were working there. How they coped, I don't know, because they didn't even leave at 3 to pick up their children from school. So it must have been their mothers who did that, or members of the family. They, you know, because they had to finish at 4:30, and that was long after the kids had come home from school, so...
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, no, that wouldn't have even occurred to them in those days. You weren't encouraged to have time off, even if your child was ill. You know, that was tough, really. You had to come into work, whatever. They kept a very, very keen eye on the number of days you took off sick.
Okay.
A lot of us used to have very painful periods. I was one of those. I was usually in agony. And standing when you had an extremely painful period was not funny. And I quite often used to end up in the sick room. We had a sick room. And a nurse who worked there and who would give you pills if the pain got too bad. Or you were even allowed to lie down for a bit if the pain got too bad. And then when the pain wore off, you had to go back on your machine. There was no question of you going home. Because obviously their argument was then we'd be sending you all home, because you'd all have your periods, you know, possibly at the same time, you'd all be going off and the factory would come to a complete stop. So tough, you had to get on with it, really. So, yeah, they were very tight on sick time, any kind of sick time. The person with, you know, the least sick time was always praised, you know, very highly. And that was easy for me because I had no family. I had nothing to worry about except myself, so I never took sick time. You know, it's a different issue if you've got children. You know, it's not that you're idle. It's that you've got other priorities and commitments you have to see to. So, yeah, I was always, you know, well done, Yvonne. You haven't taken any sick time this year. And I thought, well, you know, fine. I've only got myself to bother about, really.
If you did take sick time, was there sick pay?
Yes. Yeah.
Do you remember how much that was?
No, it's too long ago.
Yeah.
It's too long ago now.
Oh, well, we go on to wages anyway. Can you remember how much you paid, you know, a week at the beginning and how that...
I know when I was working that year before I started in Addis as a shorthand typist, I think it was, I was earning about £3.15 shillings a week in those days. It must have been in that area. It certainly wasn't less because I was happy with the money that I got. As you know, being a single person, I mean, it was a reasonable amount of money.
Are you still living at home then?
Oh, yes.
Did you give your mum?
I gave my mum some money, yeah. Yeah, she didn't ask for a lot, to be fair, mum. Yes, no, I didn't leave home until I was in my 20s.
So what did you do with the rest of the money? Do you remember?
Just enjoyed it, really. Spent it. Went shopping. Well, I like going to the cinema, so I used to go a lot. And the usual stuff, I suppose, buy clothes, records, particularly because I loved music. Bought loads of records. Went into town with my friends and just enjoyed spending it, really.
You know, they say, you say they played music in the factory. Do you remember whether it was on the radio or did people used to take records?
No, it was on the radio. The radio was always on. non-stop, really.
Do you remember which station that was?
No, probably Radio 2.
The light service.
The light service. Yeah. The light programme, as it was
the
called
light
then.
Yeah.
Yes, popular music.
Pre-Radio
2. Yes, yeah, popular music.
Yeah.
Music non-stop, really.
So you don't remember any pay rises or anything like that? Where, you know, you don't remember. Do you remember how much it was when you left, for example?
No, but it was higher than when I started. I know it went up. As far as all I was concerned about, it went up rather than down. No, I can't remember now. That's too long ago, really.
Okay. Did you have to wear any kind of uniform?
No, we all wore overalls. Not overalls. Oh, what do they call them? Well, I suppose it was a kind of overall. No, we always brought our own in. We bought them ourselves. What we chose, what we wore, we bought ourselves. It wasn't provided for us.
Right, okay. And so you could buy any kind of...
We bought our own stuff in order to, obviously, to take care of our own clothing, so that wasn't damaged in any way or made dirty or whatever.
Was that an issue, that they didn't pay for your protective clothing?
I think people did complain about it, yeah. I think some people felt that they should be provided.
Yeah. Do you remember any injuries, you know, that people had during, you know, you said that some of the machines were quite dangerous.
Yes, I do remember them being minor, though. You know, they weren't nothing major, like nobody lost a limb or anything, or a finger or a hand or anything like that. There were some minor cuts and minor injuries, but nothing major.
Right. You said it was quite noisy. Did you have any hearing? Did you have any protection for
I remember hearing? Some people having it if the machines were particularly noisy, but the rest of us, no. Even though we were in the same area as the machines, when you were packing, you know, the machines were kind of all around you and the noise level was just as high, really. But we didn't have any. But then, you see, we weren't keen on wearing them anyway because we were talking to each other all the time. It's what kept you sane, talking to other people and having a laugh, and you couldn't have heard them. So we wouldn't have worn them. Well, we would have worn them reluctantly. Like we knew many other women in the past had used lip read as a way of communicating with each other, and that's probably what we would have done. We would have learned to lip read. But I think the noisiest machines, you were told to wear your earmuffs to protect yourself, yeah.
And do you feel that you suffered any long-term health issues from your work there?
No.
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 Were you allowed to smoke too?
Oh, that was a massive issue. You weren't allowed to smoke on the factory floor. And everybody wanted to smoke during their break, and because we were on the factory floor, it wasn't allowed, and it was a massive issue. We all felt that we should be able to go to a room, not me, I've never smoked in my entire life, but all my colleagues felt that they should be allowed to go to a specific room that was set aside downstairs for people who smoked, or even a specific room where we could take our sandwiches or a snack or, you know, to take our coffee breaks rather than sit on the factory floor. So everybody would go to the toilets as often as they could get away with and have a quick fag in there. But quite often the supervisors would follow you in and double check you weren't smoking, and you had to go into the actual, you know, loo itself and lock the door, but they could always smell it and see the smoke rising and whatever, and they used to tell you to put it out. So it was a bit like, you know, a regime where people watched you and followed you in there.
What about going to the toilet? Did you have to have permission?
Yes, if you were, particularly if you were on, well, no, in either event, whether you were on a machine or on a line parking, you always had to say, you know, I'm clocking off, going to the loo, and then, you know, I'm back kind of thing now. Because, of course, you had to make up that time to make sure that that number of hour, you know, the number of packages or the number of brushes you had to do that hour were caught up with. So whatever time you spent in the loo, you had to make it up when you came back and make sure within that hour you got that number back. So you were going like the clappers when you got back to your station to make sure you didn't lose out.
So did you have to clock in the morning then?
Yes.
And clock out when you went to
yes.
the toilet?
Yes.
Clock out?
No, we didn't clock out in, we didn't use the clock, but we had to say, is it okay if I go to the loo?
Right.
And I'm going now, kind of thing.
So did you just clock out in the evening?
Yes, morning and evening, clock in and clock out when you left.
Yeah. So who timed your breaks then?
Well, there were always supervisors on the floor, quite often used to sit with you in groups. You know, they'd look at their watches and say, right, 50 minutes is up now, guys. Back to work. I mean, it was just as strict for them, in a sense, because they couldn't go anywhere either, really.
Yeah.
Except that they did have their own office.
So they could have their sandwiches.
So they could have their sandwiches in there and have a drink in there any time they wanted, really.
Did you get on with the supervisors?
They varied. They varied. I mean, obviously they vary as individuals. Some are much nicer than others, you know, so some were quite reasonable human beings and others were not. Some we felt were more sort of sympathetic and empathetic with the workforce and others were definitely not. They were very much, you know, the bosses. And they, you know, they kind of watched us. I remember we had one from Scotland who was absolutely terrifying. Everybody was scared of her. She was so strict. And then we had another one, a local girl, who was absolutely lovely. And actually came to the loos with everybody and had a fag herself, which probably could have got her sacked. So you had that huge spectrum. You had some that were really nice and others not so nice.
Yeah. So. Where did the supervisors come from? What I mean is, did they come from the factory floor or were they... Were they given jobs? Were they sort of employed?
Both. Some could be promoted from the factory floor and some came in as supervisors having worked elsewhere. It varied, really. Come to think of it, I don't remember many promotions within the factory. Even the women who had been there many, many years that I was friendly with, unless they didn't actually apply for supervisory positions, maybe that was it. Maybe they didn't want them, but no, I tended to be women who came in as supervisors.
Right.
But nearly all of them had had factory experience. They'd worked on factory
yeah.
floors.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm.
I was going to ask you, how were you... the workers viewed by other people in, you know, in Llansamlet or other people in Swansea? Was it a perfectly good job?
Yeah. Oh, we weren't looked down on in any way. Oh, no, I never felt that. No, not by anybody. No.
Yeah, good. So how many days did you work a week?
5 days, Monday to Friday.
And there was no kind of overtime over the weekend? Factory
shift? No. Well, I mean, it must have been... No, I never did any overtime at weekends. No. No, that we weren't... I remember not being pressured into doing weekend work. Nobody ever pressured me into doing weekend work.
But there was weekend
work. I mean, there must have been, because the factory was open 7 days a week.
Right.
So there must have been.
And what about how many hours a day...
I can't remember whether it was 7:30 to 4:30 or 8 to 4:30. Something like that.
Right. So, quite long days then.
Mm.
Especially with no, yeah, breaks in different places.
Yes.
Were the shifts then, were you aware of people doing shifts?
Yes. Yes, I didn't do them though. I only worked those hours.
Do you think that was because you were younger, or you didn't want to, you know, I don't mean to lead you, but what, you weren't even asked, were you?
Nobody ever asked me, no. No.
Right.
No, I'm pretty sure, as far as I can remember it, we all left the same time. We all finished at the same time because there was a mass exodus. So I'm not sure what happened after that, what happened in the evening. Because I remember, I mean, there was a mass of women all going at the same time. So we must have all vacated the factory together.
What about holidays with pay? Holiday allowance. Do you remember anything about that?
I can't remember what the holiday allowance was. I mean, we had paid holidays. Well, it was probably only a fortnight, a year or something.
And do you remember if you could pick your holidays, or was it, you know, this miners' holiday thing? I mean, did the factory close down, or did people take different holidays?
No, people took different holidays. No, the factory didn't close down. We all had staggered holidays. Obviously, you had to put in your request for a holiday in advance.
Yes, yes. And what about bank holidays?
Yes, we had bank holidays off. Yeah.
And was the factory shut then, do you?
No idea. I can't remember whether it was shut or not.
Okay. Where did you go on holiday?
Well, because, as I said, I was born in Belgium, we always went back to Belgium. My mother's family were all still there, her sister and her mother. So we always spent our fortnight going back to Belgium to see my mother's family. So it was pretty much the same every year for us, really.
Right, so you didn't take any independent...
Not until I was much older, and my grandmother in Belgium and my aunt. Well, my grandmother eventually passed away, obviously. But we still continued to go after that. I've got a photograph of myself there when I was 18. I was in Belgium then on holiday. And we carried right on going till I was quite old. Over 20, we're still going every year.
Right. Good. You mentioned the sick thing, the sickness, days allowed for sickness, but were you allowed days for personal reasons? I mean, funerals, maybe it didn't happen to you, but were you aware of difficulty if people needed to go to a funeral or any other kind of personal reason?
No, I think you were to ask permission to go to a funeral, but I don't remember if it ever being refused.
Right, okay. Okay then, so down to the social life. Were any social activities organised by the workers?
In the sense that if anybody had a birthday or a special event, we all sort of celebrated it together. And Christmas time, we all had a works do, as they used to call it, where we all went to a club together and had a Christmas party and Christmas meal and stuff.
Where did you go? Do you remember?
Yeah, I can't remember what it was called now, but it's still there because I passed it when I went recently. Something like not the Star Inn. No, that was the other end of Glanshamlet. It's still there as you go into Swansea, on the right-hand side as you're driving into Swansea.
So was it down near town?
Very near town.
Was it near the factory?
It was only a few minutes' drive from the factory.
Right.
Or a few minutes on the bus from the factory. It was very local.
Right. Explain to me where the factory was, because you explained to me on the phone, but for the...
Well, it's in Pentrechwith, because it was right next to the river, but you actually go through Bonnie Mine. That's where you get off the bus, and then you walk down a very, very steep hill, because it was right alongside the river. So it was really in Bonnie Mine, I would say.
Okay. Is it still there, do you know?
Well, I'm obviously not operating anymore, but I'm told the buildings are still there.
Right. Okay. So, a Christmas dance. What kind of, can you remember any special Christmas dance, or were they all the same? I mean, were they a good
laugh? No, I mean, we just had, everybody got drunk, basically. So, you know, we had a nice meal, everybody got drunk. We went to the club, this club. It's a pub restaurant, it was, kind of. Wish I could remember what it was called, because it would come to me. If you're driving into Swansea from Cardiff, just before you get to what is now, is it Sainsbury's on the left? Just before, there's a set of traffic lights. And if you look to your right, that place still exists that we used to go to. There's a kind of pub club there on the right-hand side before you go through those traffic lights past Sainsbury's and so on and go further down. That club is still there. So I'm not sure what area of Swansea that would be, whether it would be Portennent or if it's too far towards Swansea to be Portennent. But it's still there anyway.
I know what you mean. Mm. Yeah. So did you go there for the birthday parties as well? Was it always the same place?
Yeah, we tended to go to the same place. Yes. Or sometimes we'd go to pubs, you know, obviously, pubs in Swansea.
What about trips? Did you go on trips?
Don't remember any trips at all. None at all. No.
Well, so you said you were friendly with the older women in the factory. Was there a good camaraderie?
Yes. Yes, we were all very tight. Oh, yes, we were always aware of one another's private lives and personal issues that were going on with people's marriages and relationships and stuff. Oh, yeah.
And did you remain friends with them after you left?
After I left the factory?
Yes.
Yes, we all remained on good terms, but obviously, you know, eventually I left Swansea completely, so I didn't see them anymore. Mm. Oh, no, I mean, the thing is, if you start another job and they're still working there, you're not going to come across one another very much. It's just, you know, that you're deliberately avoiding one another, but unless you live very close to each other. I had one or two close friends, though, I continued to keep in touch with.
Even now?
Oh, no, not since I left Swansea. No. I mean, they'll all be... A lot of them be in a better place now, won't they? I mean, they were 20-odd years older than I was, so they'll be long gone,
yes.
Really.
So how long were you at the factory for?
I don't know exactly how long I was there. Because I left to work... I know I went from there to a milliner's to work. Where I actually delivered millinery to all the major stores in Swansea, and I was there for quite a while. And I also I can't even remember chronologically in which order it went. And subsequently, I went back to Addis a second time. Now, that wasn't until much later, because I actually left to join the army. And I went and did my basic training. I was only in the army a few months because just before I went into the army, I'd met Margaret. And I decided to buy myself out of the army in order to continue, well, not continue, begin a relationship. So I bought myself out. And I went back there for a while to work. And I left, when I left there, I left Swansea and went to live in Bridgend.
Right.
To live with Margaret, because she lived on her own in a bungalow. But that took quite a long time. I can remember going back and forth for something like 16 months between Addis, leaving Addis on a Friday, going to Bridgend for the weekend and going back to Addis on the Monday morning. So I must have been there a fair while, because we met in February of 72... No, we didn't. We met in 1970, in November of 1970, and I didn't move into Bridgend until February 72. So that period of time, again, I was working in Addis.
Right. So why do you think you went back there? Was it... I mean, did you feel... Did you feel happy there?
No, it's just a question of the familiar, really. I knew exactly what I was going back to. And I thought rather, because I had it in the back of my mind that wherever I went, I wouldn't be there very long. I just thought, well, I go back to what I know. The money's okay. I know I can do the job. I'll stick it out there for a little while and see how things turn out.
Why did you leave in the first place then?
I can't remember. I just thought probably I wanted to change. It was just, you know, familiar routine. I just wanted to change, really, and do something different.
And did you enjoy these different things, like the milliners, as much as you enjoyed the factory?
No. No, because I was working with two women initially, and then one of them left to have a baby, and I was working with one other woman. And it was kind of lonely in a sense after working with the huge crowd of people in a factory. It was lonely in that sense. I had a female boss who was very kind to me. And I've spent most of my time outside. So that's part of the reason I left, I think, was because I was beginning to feel claustrophobic and enclosed, really. Being indoors for those number of hours every day, every week. You're never seeing the outside, never, you know. I got a job where I spent a lot of my time outside because I was delivering millinery, so I was outside a great deal, walking round Swansea, really, different part, and seeing different people when I was going to the stores to hand over the millinery. I thought that would be great. I worked in Wine Street. The milliner was in Wine Street, and it was a really interesting area. It was a red light district in those days, not posh like it is now, full of restaurants and clubs and bars. It was very interesting working there. But, as I say, it was lonely after working with one other person who wasn't exactly a joy to work with, looking back on it now. No, I did regret it, actually. Yeah.
What about joining the army? Why did you feel you wanted to join the army?
God alone knows, Catherine. God alone knows. What I was thinking at the time, I have no idea. Lots of my friends left. Two of my friends went to join the army that I was in school with, and they said it was a very interesting, exciting life, and, you know, why are you wasting your life doing those crap jobs? Why don't you join the army? It's fun. You'll have a great time, you know. So I think I was partly influenced by them. One of the friends I was very close to in school, I continued to have a friendship with after she joined the army. Two of my closest friends joined the army. I think I was influenced by them. And my father had been in the army as well. Not that he recommended it, because he hated the army, but I think it was the two women who said to me, you know, it's much more interesting than working in a factory or a shop or whatever. You know, there's so much going on, it's so interesting, you really enjoy it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So off I went.
I'm gonna stop a minute. Okay. So can I just ask you, you said you'd started a relationship with your partner, Margaret, in early 70s. And you went back to the factory. Were you open about your sexuality? And if you were, or if you weren't, if you know what I mean, how were people's attitudes in the factory?
Well, I knew I was gay when I was in school, and people, you know, generally said everybody went through this phase where they had crushes on other girls, and they grew out of them. And I thought, fine, that'll happen to me as well, but it didn't. I had boyfriends, a number of boyfriends at the same time as it happened, but most of my friends had sex at quite an early age, you know, when they were still in their mid-teens and had babies subsequently, and I wouldn't have sex with boys. I always refused. And I had a bit of a reputation as being frigid. I was told I was frigid and, you know, I wasn't coming across, so I was frigid. There was something wrong with me. But I knew it was because I was gay. I slowly came to realise that I was gay anyway, right through my teens. And when I was, I mean, as far as the women were concerned, that was something they almost spat out as though it was something disgusting and dirty. I mean, if you told them that you were gay, I suspect not many of them would have spoken to me or got anywhere close to me in case, you know, it rubbed off on them by reputation. It was a very different atmosphere in the 1960s. Things were slowly beginning to change, but really it wasn't until the 70s that the major changes began and attitudes began to change. No, I never discussed it with anyone.
Even when you'd started a relationship?
Well, I had a relationship before Margaret. When I was... it must have been around 20, I suppose. I met somebody who was a lot older than I was and who was bisexual. And she was much older, much more sophisticated. I mean, she was 31 and I was, you know, I was green, really. I was very young and naive in many ways. She'd got a degree at Sheffield University. She was highly intelligent. And she was the first person who ever showed me any true respect, because I didn't get any at home. Because my brother was considered to be highly intelligent, which he was and still is, and I was considered, you know, to be average, and letting the family down because I wasn't going out with boys and I wasn't getting engaged and I wasn't getting married and I wasn't having babies. But she was the first person to ask me for my opinion on anything. If we discuss things, you know, general things that were going on in the world and in society around us, social events and political events and stuff, and she would actually say, what do you think? I remember being absolutely gobsmacked the first time she said that to me. What do you think about it? Have you thought about that? What's your opinion on it? And I thought, my God, nobody has ever asked me for my opinion. Nobody. So I was silent for a long time, and I thought, I did think about things, but I never discussed them with anyone because I was never asked. So that she was the first relationship I had, and that was going on while I was still working in the factory. So I was going to work and she was then working as a civil servant. There was no way I could have discussed that with anybody. And I mean, we broke up because she actually had a relationship with a married man while she was seeing me at the same time. And I decided enough was enough, really. And I basically packed it in because she became pregnant by him. It's a long, complicated story. He paid for an abortion and I was the one who went to the hospital with her, but we won't go there. I decided that was enough, finished. But there's no way I could have discussed that with anybody. I never discussed it with anyone. I didn't have a single friend that I could discuss that with.
So definitely not with anybody?
No,
exactly.
No.
Okay. Looking back now, this is the last question.
Oh.
I just asked, you didn't go and work in any other factory after that, did
no.
you? No. So looking back now, how do you feel?
Oh, tell a lie. I did, but that was after I moved in with Margaret, so that was in Bridgend.
And what factory was that?
Miles Laboratories, it was called. They'd, if you can think of any household medication, any sort of familiar brand name that you can think of, they bottled. So it was a line, it was machinery, and it was a series of bottles that you had to fill.
How did that compare with Addis?
There was a lot less camaraderie there, a lot more focus on the work and no chatting, because the machines were a lot faster and you had to keep up with them. You didn't have time to chat to people, except of course during your breaks. I mean, the conditions were much better, extremely clean, extremely hygienic, much better facilities, decent breaks, good money, blah blah blah, but the camaraderie was virtually, I mean, except during lunch breaks when you had an opportunity to chat. It was totally focused on the work, really.
And was that a smaller factory?
No, it was quite large.
Was it?
Yeah.
Was that mainly women?
Yes.
And what years do you remember?
Well, I moved in 1972, so it must have been between 72 and 74 I worked there.
Right. And do you remember any social occasions, that kind of thing?
Yes, it was a lot more sophisticated. We all went into Cardiff, you know. A different world, really.
Right. And sorry, what was it called?
Miles Laboratories. I've got a feeling it's probably still there, in Bridgend Industrial Estate. It's probably still there.
Right. And the conditions were good. So you were. Do you remember how much you earned?
No idea.
But you were happy with
the money. Oh, yes, the money was fine.
Well, looking back then, How do you feel about the time you spent working in these factories?
Well, it was very formative in a way. I didn't realise it at the time. But it helped me get through some very difficult years at home. And I formed some very close relationships, really, which helped me through, through difficult times, really.
Generally, how do you think, generally for women, were they important places?
Everybody there felt that. It gave them a sense of independence and also a sense of who they were as individuals. Because they were all, most of them were married with families, and everybody related to them in that way. They were somebody's wife and somebody's mother. But while they were in the factory, they were themselves, and they got back in touch with their identity and who they were, and they formed close relationships with other women. And I think they were able to be themselves in a way that they probably weren't at home. It taught you a lot of things about yourself. Forming relationships, being able to work as a member of a team. Things like loyalty. And I also learned to be discreet, because a lot of people told you personal stuff, which they trusted you with. Not necessarily anyone else. Maybe things they couldn't talk about even to members of their family.
What about Addis? Do you think they were good employers on the whole?
For the time they were, considering it was the early 60s.
What was the factory called, by the way?
Addis.
Oh,
Addis Limited, yeah.
Yeah. And what about the other place in Bridgend, Mills?
Yes, they were probably reasonable employers as well. They followed all the rules. I had no complaints about working conditions, but you were expected to blooming pull your finger out and work hard, really.
Correct.
But nothing major to complain about.
Thank you very much, Yvonne.
Oh, you're welcome. That's okay.
I forgot to ask you this, Yvonne. Were there any perks from working in the factory?
Yes, you did get everything at a reduced cost. But every night when you left the factory, you were at randomly searched by security to make sure you didn't have anything on your person that you shouldn't have had. So you had to go through a gate. And at random, they just picked you out and went through your handbag, went through your shopping bag. Quite often used to frisk you to make sure you didn't have anything on your body that you shouldn't have had, secreted around yourself.
So were any people caught?
Yes.
And what happened to them?
They were sacked. Oh, yes. Don't think you had the opportunity to do it a second time.
Oh, thank you very much.
That's okay.